When animal scientist Temple Grandin was born in 1947, autism had only just been named. Today, one in 88 children is diagnosed on the spectrum, and autism studies have moved from the realm of psychology to neurology and genetics, with groundbreaking new research into causes and treatments. Temple Grandin is a best-selling author who's widely known for her humane contributions to the livestock industry and for her insightful understanding of autism, having a form of the disorder herself. Grandin's latest book is The Autistic Brain. In it, she brings her perspective to the latest theories of what causes autism and how we can diagnose and best treat it. When in Atlanta last week, she joined me in the studio to talk about her own history and the latest in autism research. She began by talking about what the title of the book means to her.
Well, one of the reasons I think the book got titled The Autistic Brain is because it kind of outlines my odyssey of going to different brain scan technologies as they became available. But another reason is the different kinds of minds. You know, people on the autism spectrum, also people that are dyslexic, people that have ADHD, there's a very, very wide range of skills. And also uneven skills. Good at one thing, bad at something else. I'm a photorealistic visual thinker. Then there's other people that are extremely good at mathematical kind of thinking, but they have trouble with reading. And then there's others that are good word minds. And there's a whole chapter in the book just devoted to these different kinds of minds and how we need to develop the strengths of those different kinds of minds and get them into good careers.
You include actual scans of your brain in the book. What were your feelings or thoughts upon discovering the physiological differences in your own brain?
Well, it explained a lot of ways I felt, like finding out my fear center was three times bigger, explained why antidepressants at a very low dose stopped my fear. Visual circuits explained visual thinking. You know, what showed up in the brain basically all just showed up also in my, you know, in my life. Now, there's one particular type of problem that shows up all over and over again in a lot of different scans, especially on the fully verbal end of the spectrum, and that is the circuits involved with face recognition, facial expressions. Those circuits are not working normally. But then things like there's a scan in there showing visual circuits. I'm a total visual thinker. Everything I think about is in a picture.
Talking about your visual thinking, I love the example you give in the book of about being in the airport in Chicago, looking up at the glass ceiling, and it made you think of the Crystal Palace in London.
Well, you see, my visual mind is associative. And if you want to see how my mind works, why don't you give me some key words and don't give me something that I can see here inside a radio station.
Dog.
Well, I'm seeing my assistant's dog. I'm seeing Cheryl Miller's dog. I'm now seeing specific dogs. I'm seeing a dog that used to come into the playground when I was a child. His name was Flea. And then I'm thinking, well, in today's schools, this little dog wouldn't be welcome in the playground. But back in the 50s, he was definitely welcome in the playground. So now I'm seeing the things we're doing in the elementary school playground. Soccer games, kick the can, hide-and-go-seek. We had these little crystal set radios. And if you clip the alligator clip onto the drain pipe, you could hear radio stations on these little crystal sets. Okay, you see how it's associative?
Yeah, and all from the word dog.
Visual thinking is not limited just to autism. I mean, it's not artists that are visual thinkers, but visual thinking can have a whole lot of different degrees. From, like, when I designed a piece of equipment for the cattle industry, I could actually test run that equipment in my mind. When I was young, I didn't know my thinking was different. I thought everybody thought in pictures. I didn't know that I had a different kind of thinking until I started interviewing people about how they think. The section of the book I like the best is where I talk about the different kinds of minds. You know, the visual thinker minds that are going to be good at graphics and industrial design and photography, art, all kinds of visual things. And you got the mathematics minds that are going to be good at engineering, computer science, programming, statistics, all of those kinds of things. And then you've got word thinkers that can be good writers, might also be good radio broadcasters.
Oh, exactly. What are your feelings about our current understanding of the spectrum?
Well, the problem is it's diagnosed as a behavioral profile. You know, in the future, I mean, autism probably needs to be cut up into its component parts because you have speech delay. It's a very obvious thing. And one of the things that tends to be a core deficit in autism is problems with face recognition, picking up subtle social cues. That's probably one of the core deficits on the higher end of the spectrum. You get on the more severe end of the spectrum, they may be living in a sensory jumble. That's why they don't learn to talk. There's a definite need for a lot more research on sensory problems like sound sensitivity, problems with sensitivity of fluorescent lighting. And it's, I also want to add that these sensory sensitivity problems aren't confined to autism. You can have them with dyslexia. You can have them with ADHD. You can also have what's called sensory processing disorder, where you have the sensory problems without the other stuff.
You were talking about the sensitivity to fluorescent lighting. Yeah, there's a flicker that most of us don't notice, but to some, it's debilitating.
To about 5% of the population, fluorescent lights just drive them crazy. I can't wait until we switch to LEDs and just get rid of them.
Be done with the problem.
Yeah, just get rid of them.